Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Isn't it good? God is just so rich. I want to say, you look at this, the cross section of this congregation, and you see that God puts things together that no man can. I won't try to do anything in a spectacular way about talking about Black History Month, because I would do a terrible injustice if I was to try to do that. There's so many African American people that have contributed to this nation, to the well-being of this nation, to the heartbeat and the fabric of this nation, along with others. But I won't try to talk about that, but I do want to speak to you this morning. That's not my message, but I do want to speak to you this morning that when you look at the cross-section of this house, you don't see one color. You do see one people. Do you hear that? We have people of different color. You know, how many of you know that I'm not white? But we have this thing that's in the Bible that says before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, which means you're under arrest. Being shut away to the faith, which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we might be justified by faith. But now, everybody say, but now. Yeah. How many of you know when you're under arrest, there's just something that's just not right? Is that true? Yeah. I've got a detective as a son. My daughter-in-law's a judge. I'm not a judge, but a lawyer. I got a nephew that's a lawyer. He's over there. And I said, all I need is a judge and I would never have to go to jail. I tried to pull a marker on my son one time, said, hey, look, need some help here. They're calling me to be on jury duty and I've got some other things to do. He said, you're on your own, Dad. But he says, but now the faith has come, and we're no longer under the tutor. We're no longer under the law. We're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to him, you are heirs together according to the promise. I would like to acknowledge that, the people that is in this house, I can talk about the history in this house more than I can the history of the nation. I really can. But I would like for all the African-American people to stand up. And the only reason I'm having you stand up is because we need to see, you never lose being a Jew. You never lose being a Greek. He still acknowledges how he created you. Say amen. Amen. But he says, in him, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is not black or white or yellow or red. He created them that way, but in him, we are all one. Is that true? Yes. That is the truth, and that's how we should live. So all of our African-American brothers and sisters, children, just stand up. We want to acknowledge the contribution that you have made to the kingdom of God. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'll have to explain something to you on my behalf.
Yes, sir.
We're not Africa to purpose.
Okay. The pastor just got rebuked by an elder. Admonished, I should say. He just made a correction. We're not African American. We're Americans. Yes. Amen, brother. Good word. Good word. From being on staff, Pastor John, being with me, I mean, he is an anchor for me. He really is. And he's... Elder Doug, Elder William, I'm telling you that we have such a beautiful representation of what how God sees his body. We're all one. Amen?
Amen.
We're all one. All of us. Well, go ahead and stand up and go shake hands and hug one of your brothers and one of your sisters. Let's just go ahead and do that. Just go give them a hug. African American. Okay. We'll talk to Charlie. He's right over there. The one that is here. Yeah. Okay. Let's see if we can find our way to our seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? All the time. Amen. I want to share briefly with you today. I'll probably do a little series on this, but I want to talk to you about building a culture of faith. How many of you know that this This world needs to see faith demonstrated in a way that it makes them curious of how to get it. Is that true? That's what this world needs. That's what it's craving. It's craving that. It thinks it's craving for a lot of other things. But this creator, the Bible says, my Bible says, that the creation groans. Yes. It groans to see the manifestation, the revealing of the mature ones of God, the sons of God. How many of you know it takes faith to do that? It takes faith to do that. Your faith is important to you. Your faith is important to the culture. And if we're not careful, we will be so influenced by the culture that we as the church, as the body of Christ, will begin to have behaviors and thought patterns that are formed after the world, after the culture, instead of after Him. It's so easy to do. You know, I remember reading a magazine years and years ago. I think it was in Newsweek. It's been years ago. And the writer of the article said, right when we needed the church the most, we turned to her and found that she was just like us. I've never forgotten. I wished I'd have remembered who wrote it, but I never forgot. It made such an impact on my life that right when they need the church the most, they turned to the church and found out that just messed up as they are. Doesn't mean that we won't go through things. That's an indictment against the church not building faith into a culture. You know, faith, it's you don't need faith when everything is going well and you don't, and everything is at your right hand and everything. When you don't need anything, you just don't have faith for anything. But have you know, we stand in need of our Lord. Like Jay said, he said, look, when you really calculate and look at yourself, you're nothing without Him. Is that true? We are nothing without Him. But with Him, we're everything that He wants us to be. Our faith needs to be something that we live out publicly. Everybody say publicly. I'm telling you this thing about private faith. Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not telling anybody. I'm not going to show it forth. I'm going to behave myself and do as the world does. I tell you, it will reach no one. Matter of fact, it will repel a lot of people once they do find out. Why? Because we're saying one thing and living another way. We need to build a culture of believing God. We need to build a culture that says, I know things are going a little haywire, but I'm trusting in the one who holds it. I'm trusting in the one who holds it. I'm trusting in the one who created it. And I'm trusting in the one in control of it. So we need to understand that we have to build a culture of faith. There's no one else on this earth that's going to do it for us. We have to do this. So our faith, our culture is turning away from true faith. How many of you know that? The Bible says that there is coming a time in the last days that they'll turn away from faith. No, they'll turn away from true faith. It doesn't mean that they had the faith. It means that they're not going in the direction. They're turning away. How many of you know that this world is turning away from Christianity? As a world, that they don't want Christianity. But how many of you know that we are salt? We are light. We are who we are because He created us that way, and we have a mandate on our life that even there will be some that turn away, there will be some that we will rescue. Everybody say rescue.
Rescue.
We need to be a people that demonstrates our belief in God, not just say we believe in God. I mean, our faith needs to be up front. An upfront faith, not a backdoor faith, an upfront faith. An upfront believing God, walking with God, living with God. Curtis, good to see you, brother. Man, I love you. Really do. Good to see you. An upfront faith. One that is on display. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm really going through it. I don't feel like I'm on display. Oh, yeah, you're on display even when you go through it. But you need to have this attitude. We've talked about this before. You need to have this attitude even when you're going through it. You need to say, God's doing me good. Why? Because he's going to use everything that's coming into your life, everything that's coming, because you love God and because you have a calling on your life according to his purpose, everything that happens to you is going to turn for your good. So our culture is turning away from faith. Jesus even said, he said, here's the question. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? That's an amazing question. When he returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find somebody that's taking a position, taking a stand, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're feeling, no matter what the world says about us, no matter what anybody says anything about us, will he find faith, somebody? Will he find somebody taking a stand on trusting God no matter what it looks like? Will he find someone? That's a good question. Jesus asked that question. Will he find faith? Jude tells us that he said, I was going to write you a letter about being inspired by the Holy Spirit. I was going to write you about salvation. We're just going to talk about being saved, talk about salvation. He said, but I am compelled to write you about earnestly contending for the faith. I am compelled to tell you there is a contending. There's a champion, or there's somebody that says there, and there's a contender. So we are to be contenders in this thing called faith in order to say, no, I know. And see what he's talking about. He said, because there's people that slipped into the church unnoticed. And what they're doing is selling and their destruction was prophesied from the beginning. He said, but what they're doing, they're trying to deceive you and trying to bring you to the place that you can just live any old way you want to and still say you're a Christian. He said, they've slipped in. And they've made grace look like it's just no empowerment. It's just, yeah, I'm saved, but after that, I can live any other way I want to, and I'm still going to heaven. See, that is not the grace that God gives. He said, there's a contending going on for faith. There's a contending going on. See, do you feel the tension in the world today? Does anybody beside me feel the tension that is in the world today? Do you know why it's in tension? Do you know why it's in stress? It's in stress because there's a battle between not black and white. There's a battle between good and evil. There's a battle between this darkness and light. And see, what he tells us to do is to become that light, to be that light to the darkness, to be that salt that's going to preserve something that's in decay. We need to see that. We need to believe that. We need to adhere to that in our behavior, in our lifestyle. We need to demonstrate that it needs to. We need authentic faith being demonstrated, real faith. How many of you know religion will not? Religion will make a religious person. It'll just produce another Pharisee. I'm telling you, it will only produce. You just get religious and all about rules and all about, and you'll produce as many Pharisees as you can. See, that is not the way of God. The way of God is in relationship. He wants us to be in relationship, an ongoing, present. Everybody say present tense. That's present tense relationship. No, I got saved when I was 8 years old. What have you been doing? I've been waiting. For what? Waiting for the bus to come. We're going home. It's been 30 years. It's been 40 years. That is not the way of God. Somebody has misinformed them. That's not the way of God. We're here to build faith in a culture. We're here to demonstrate faith in a culture. How are we going to do that? Let me ask you this question. Is your faith being talked about? Is your faith influencing the culture? That's a question you need to ask. Is my faith being talked about? Paul told the church, he was writing to one of the churches, and he says, I have heard of your faith. Let me ask you, has anyone heard of your faith? Is your faith being talked about? Because it's been so demonstrated and so made public that even when you didn't have the answers, even when you didn't have a way out of it, was your faith demonstrated in such a way that that had to be God? See, we have this thing that, you know, that we're supposed to be comfortable all the time. If we're supposed to be comfortable all the time, we would not need a comforter. That's interesting. You know, we do not seek the comfort. We seek the Lord. We seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. But we need to see that your faith must be established, it must be working, and it must be growing if you're going to be influential in the world. Somebody asks you how things are going, you need to tell them how things are going with your faith. Your faith must be tested. Here's the critical part right here. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Your faith's got to be tested. Why? Because the Bible says that when your faith is being tested, it will cause you to have perseverance. It'll cause you to... the Bible was doing real good when it said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have it. I love that. But now He's getting talks, says, now that you have faith, now you're going to have faith under fire. Why? Because your faith needs to be tested. Why? Because it's going to bring about an endurance. And the Bible says that you have need of endurance. Everybody say, I have need of endurance. Why do we need to endure? Because there are going to be coming things to us in our life, and some of us have gone through, and we are going through some things, that we have to learn how to endure. We have to learn how to persevere. We have to learn how to take a stand in a position, because there's all kind of voices and there are all kind of influences that are out there that says you need to go this way, you need to go do this. No, we need to do what the Lord tells us to do. How many of you have ever been squeezed? How many of you have ever been through the narrow place of the bottle when you're being poured out? You know? The Bible says this, it is through much pressure. It is through, everybody say, much pressure. It is through the little neck of the bottle. That's the pressure. All the stuff that's in the bottle has to go through that pressure, has to go through that tight place in order to be released. And the Bible says it is through much pressure that you enter kingdom living. You want to enter kingdom living? Guess what? There's a neck. There's a narrow place that we have to enter into. And we can't let our faith be such that we lose it or we step away from it. We need to learn to steward the moments. We need to learn to manage the moments, to maximize the moment. How do we do that? When we're out in the world, when we're out there doing the things that God wants us to do and going about our everyday chores, everyday life, and all of a sudden something rounds the corner that we was not prepared for, but we're on display. And then we see this narrow place that we got to go through. We see this narrow spot that we're going to have to go through, because that's where God's leading us. That's where God's telling us. So much easier for us to say, I think I'll just stay put in a bottle and wait. Think I'll just have me a seat and wait for the Lord to come, then everything will be okay. No, He's going to pour you out just like He poured Paul out, like a drink offering. Why? Because we need to be poured out to influence, to change the culture in which we're living, to change the atmosphere. Listen, I'm telling you, how many of you are born again Christians? I want you to raise your hand now. Wait, just wave at me. You're born again believers. When you enter into Kmart, either today, tomorrow, you ought to be an atmosphere changer. You may be going after potato chips, but God has you on display. Especially when you get in line and it's too long. Especially when somebody gets the last thing that you were wanting. Why? Because God wants to put you on display so faith in Him can be demonstrated. Everybody say, God's at work in me. You know, faith comes by hearing. It's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, by the word of God. And that word is rhema, by the rhema. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. And this is an answer for, this is his answer to a temptation to demonstrate power. You got to hear this. He was tempted to demonstrate power for self need. He was hungry. Demonstrate this power for yourself. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, that continues to proceed out of the mouth of God. We need to be devoted to study the Word of God. We should have a devotion about us to study the Word of God. Amen? Because when you do, when you and I study the Word of God, when He begins to speak today, for this moment, you'll be able to hear Him clearly. Y'all got that? We can be devoted. See, we have to be devoted to study the Word of God so we'll know what He's saying. Now, it positions you and I to be able to hear what God is saying today. You know, there's cross-sections of people that says God doesn't speak today. The whole doctrine's built around God doesn't speak today. But yet Jesus says, we live by every word that continues to proceed out of the mouth of God. Is that the truth? So how about this thing about our faith? How's He really going to produce that? How's He really going to get us in a place to influence our culture? How's He going to do that? He's going to take you and I into places that we've never been before, but we have to have a constant present tense hearing of God. But y'all remember Abraham? Yeah, y'all know the story about Abraham. He heard from God. God told him what? I want your son. Go sacrifice your son, your only son. Go sacrifice him. What did Abraham do? Gathered up the utensils, gathered up everything that he needed to go do what? Sacrifice his son. It was believing God. It was a faith that he had, believing in God, that God spoke to him, and he's going to go do it. So he takes his son. Watch this. He takes his son. He lays him down, gets the sacrifice prepared, and he gets the knife, and a voice, the angel says, stop. Don't take his life. Now I know that you won't withhold anything. Now, don't you believe that Isaac was very glad that he had a continual ear to hear God? But he heard God, didn't he? Did he not hear God? I want you to sacrifice. Did he not hear him? Yeah. That was the word that he spoke, and that's what he was supposed to go do. Now, is there another hearing of God? Yes, there's another hearing of God for another moment to be maximized. He says, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay the hand. Why is that? Because the thing that you heard from God to go do now, we just can't say, well, I'm going to live off of that. We want to build monuments instead of having moments of our faith being activated. Healing. We're more drawn to formulas and rules than we are relationship of living with Him on a constant basis. And we will formalize things that has worked, Jay. Well, when we did this and this and this, the power of God fell and it was awesome and this happened and this happened and this happened. You know what we're prone to do? The next thing that something else happens, something like that, we're prone to follow a formula because that's what we had success in. And God used that moment, but he may be wanting to do it different. That's the reason Jesus never healed anybody the same way. Why? Because he heard what the Father said to do at this moment. Oh, that's good stuff. He wants you to respond to him in this present tense hearing of God today. When you're pumping gas, when you're walking down the street, when you're in the neighborhood, when you're with your children, when you're at church, when you're driving, when you're doing this. He wants a present day, a present tense relationship, not a formula. We don't need to look for formulas. We need to look for faith. Faith comes by hearing. Everybody say hearing. Hearing. Not faith comes by what was heard. Because if you heard it last week, you'll have a tendency to do the same thing. And he may say, hey, well, I want you to do. Now, if Abraham had heard that, now, I heard what, and he hears this voice saying, stay the hand, don't take his life. Well, I know what I heard God say last, 2 days ago. Well, you need to be constantly hearing what God is saying now. Do you understand that God doesn't mind not explaining things to us? Nah, he tell you to do something, and you sort of scratching your head, and you wonder, there you go. Why? Because that's just what I want you to do. But if you build your life and you're living around formulas, you'll become a religious person. If you study the scriptures and do not encounter a divine relationship as it's happening, you will become a religious person. That's what the Pharisees did. Jesus said, "You search the scriptures and believe that in them you'll have eternal life." But guess what? It wasn't in them. It was in him, the relationship with him. And they didn't even recognize him. It's easy for us to know the scriptures and not know him when he shows up. Are y'all hearing me? But see, we need to study in order to be able to see the relationship change in us as we hear him. I had a conversation with a pastor one time. He said, "God doesn't speak today. You guys are just all messed up. God doesn't speak. He's already spoken. This is the word of God." And I said, "I won't debate that. Is the word of God." And he said, "Well, why can't you just go by this?" And I said, "Well, why can't you?" He said, "Well, I do. It's what I'm trying to tell you. All you need is this right here." And I said, "I understand that. Yeah." I said, "But you didn't go by the word of God when you accept the pastoring of the church that you're pastoring, because it ain't in that book." He said. "Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, now you want it both ways. Are you hearing God to go do this and go do that? Are you hearing God to go?" How many of you have ever showed up at somebody's house and you scratch your head and you wonder, "Why am I here?" I think we heard that from Pastor John the other week, didn't we? He showed up at this man's house and, "Why am I here?" Well, God has a business for him to do. Wants him to go do something. Wants him to go impart faith to people. Wants him to release something to someone else. Is that true? See, you and I, when you and I begin to formalize everything that we're going to do, formalize it by formula, this work, it's like the time, that we had feathers to fall. How many of you remember that? Been years ago, we had feathers to fall. And, different spots in the congregation and some in the room upstairs and during praise and worship, and all of a sudden people started bringing me feathers, and I'm like, bring me feathers, And another one brought a feather. That's about five feathers that fell all the way. And, you know, and I'm scratching my head because I'm wondering, you know, God, you're not explaining this very well. You know, and then he spoke to me. He said, it is under my wings, under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty that we have protected. You know, so I knew what God was. So then I began to hear, oh, I know what he wants us to do. He wants us to have an understanding because there's a manifestation happening about his presence coming into and covering us and watching over us and protecting us. So we got up and said, here's what we believe God is saying. But you know, it'd been real easy. Hey, had feathers. Come on back next week. We'll get some more. The feather church. The church that experiences God by feathers. We can build a whole formula out of something. And God said, no, that's not me. I did that today, but I'm going to do something else tomorrow. It is our present day relationship with him, ongoing present day, present time relationship that he speaks to us at the moments that we need at that critical time in that moment to hear what God wants us to do, and therefore we can go do it. But if we have not studied his word, we don't even know if it's his voice, the enemy's voice, somebody else's voice, right? So how do we do this thing? You know, John looked at Peter and he says, Peter, the enemy has come and he's demanded permission to sift you like wheat. And Jesus says, but I prayed for you. I'd rather him say, but I'm not going to let him do it. But no, he said, but I prayed for you. And you, after this has converted you, after this thing has increased your faith in me, I prayed for, what did he pray? He said, that your faith not fail. In other words, you will always be dependent upon me no matter how rough it gets. He said, and you, after this thing has changed you, after this thing has converted you, I want you to go, watch this, I want you to go build faith in your brothers. I want you to go build a culture of faith. I want you to strengthen your brothers with faith. Going through the difficult places positions you and I to release faith to influence the culture. Have you ever had somebody say, well, you don't know what I've been through? And then that's a good opportunity to say what? Let me tell you what I've been through. But God, that's the building of faith in a culture. This culture needs the faith of God. This culture needs to hear the testimony, the living testimony of Jesus operating in our lives in such a way that we're influencing a culture with faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. How many of you know the verse that says, now faith is... faith is the of things hoped for, the evidence of. How many of you know the verses that's before that? I'll tell you what they are. The Bible says that, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Don't throw it away. Don't throw away. Don't put away your confidence. You're trusting in God, which is of great reward. It says in Hebrews 10, for you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you will be able to receive what's promised. In a little while, he is coming and will return and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Watch this pronouncement. But we are not of those who shrink back. Say that. We are not of those who shrink back. Say it again.
We are not of those who shrink back.
Say it again.
We are not of those who shrink back.
We are not of those who shrink back, but we are those of faith. Do you hear me? That's what the Word of God says. And then after that, he's able to say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We want to quote that without making the proclamation. We ain't shrinking back. We're not turning back. We're going forward no matter what it is, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through. I am not turning away. I will not cast off my confidence in God. I can't explain what we're going through. I can't understand what I'm going through. But there's one thing I know. He is with me the entire way. I am not shrinking back from what I believe in God. They want to tell you all kind of stuff that's wrong with Christianity. I'm here to tell you everything that is right with Christianity. It is your life. It is your very life. So we've got to be able, thank you, we've got to be able to say, I am not one of those who shrinks back. I'm one of those who has faith. Well, can you tell me what's going to happen tomorrow? I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know that my Redeemer lives. And he can give you life just like he's given me. Let's influence the culture. Let's go out of these doors with an understanding that we will not shrink back. We will not shrink back. We're not of that group. We're of a group that has faith. We're of the group that has continual living, a present day presence of God. This song that we sang, I took note of it. It says, in his presence, something that I'm going to hear. Even though I'm going to, and it says, to allow us to enter in more. See, he wants us to trust him so much with what we heard that we'll go do it. And in the process of going and doing it, see, Peter was put through it in order to be able to demonstrate a greater faith to those that were around him. Because guess what? Peter actually, when he heard that, he says, I'm ready to go to jail for you and I'm ready to die. I'll go die with you. I mean, come on, I'll go die with you. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't even realize that before the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied even knowing me three times. So you can't boast of your own strength. You boast of your belief in God. You got that? So when we go out of here, we need to understand we're not of a people. We're not of the group that shrinks back, that pulls back when things get a little hard. Things get a little tough. And things may be more than a little tough. It may be very tough. Do you know what Jesus went after in Peter when he allowed the enemy to sift him like wheat? You know what he went after? The fear of man. Why? Because they was asking him, hey, aren't you a disciple? Oh, no, I'm not. No. I think you're a follower of him. Oh, no. Why? He had fear. Then a little servant girl comes up. I know you're one of them. And then he wants to emphasize not being one, and he curses just to prove a point. I'm not one of those. And he blankety blanks as he does. Why? Fear. When you and I are intimidated by what's going on in the world, when you're intimidated by the darkness, when we're intimidated, we will not fulfill the very calling that's on our life. And when you and I go through that feeling of being timid, go through that thing of being fearful, God is putting us to that place to stand up and say, wait a minute, I'm not of them that shrinks back. I don't have anything to fear. And I need to take my stand of where we are today, of what we're going to do today, of what God wants me to do today. The very smallest thing that he tells you to do. Do you understand also that the thing with Jesus and the loaves, we often look past what he's already given us looking for the bigger thing that we want when we have not stewarded the very thing that he's given us. We want the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And he says, what are you doing with what I've given you already? You remember when it says, that at Jesus' baptism, the heavens opened up? How many of you heard the heavens opened up and a dove, the Holy Spirit came down and landed upon him as a dove? The heavens opened up. That word opened up means they were rent, they were torn. And it's the same word that when Jesus died, that the veil was torn from top to bottom. So I was praying with the pastor not too long ago, and he said, he was talking to him, and he said, we need to pray that God rends the heavens and comes down. And that's in Isaiah 64. We need to pray. And I said, brother, that's already happened. We often get sidetracked in believing for things that we've already gotten. Why? Because the enemy wants us to use our faith in other things, standing for things that we already have. It's a trick of the enemy. Are y'all with me? The heavens were open when he came when he was baptized, and then the heavens were open and the veil was rent. The separation between us and God, the separation between us and God was done away with when Jesus died and resurrected. So for me to be praying, God rent the heavens, he's already rent the heavens. He is inside you and I. Now faith. We are not of those who shrink back. We're of those who have faith, even to the preserving of our soul. Now faith is the evidence of things, the evidence of things are the substance of things hoped for. How do we reach them? The Bible says that faith is moved by love. That's how we reach them. Love them. Everybody say, love them. Love the ones that smells. Love the ones that don't look right. Love the ones that does look right. Love the ones that's all dolled up and prettied up. Love them. Love this culture. Love this people. The Bible says if you seek the welfare of your city, in it you will find your welfare. Love them. Everybody say, love them. Love them and then give them hope. Because if they don't have hope, they're not going to have faith. Love them. Embrace them. Love them. You don't have to love what they do. You don't have to love their actions, but love them. Somebody asked me about a month ago, says, homosexuals welcome in your church? And I said, absolutely. Why? Why do we want them? Why do we want, so is liars, so is gossip, so is, you understand what I'm saying? They're all welcome here. Why is that? Because they need to be loved. They don't need to be criticized. They don't need to be judged. They need to be loved. They need to be in an atmosphere that people love them. And not only love them, but give them hope. They don't understand who they are. Because they've been told by another voice that's who they are. Love them. I tell you what, we'll never get beyond where we currently are if we don't expand our love for this community and love for the people. And then in the process of loving them, you give them some hope. You give them some hope. You pour hope of words of positive faith in. Give them hope. And then in the process of that, they'll begin to have hope in something that, wait a minute, this is real. This is tangible. This is not just a religious nut that I'm talking to. They're actually walking this thing out. Love them. So are you ready? You ready to go out these doors with an understanding that I'm a builder of faith to this culture? I am salt. I am light. Why? Because he said this is who I am. I'm born again. I have the very resurrection power of Jesus living inside me. and I need to love people, love God, and I'll make a difference. No matter where I go, I'll make a difference. You'll change the atmosphere when you and I adapt that, and that becomes who we are. Amen? Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that this is a time where you are building us up in our faith. You're establishing us. You're bringing us to a place that we can build faith upon faith from glory to glory. Without understanding what we're going through a lot of times.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.
Releasing it into the atmosphere, changing the culture, influencing people that you're real and that you love them and that you died to change their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Say this with me: we are not of those who shrink back. We're of those who have faith. I have now faith. And I shall change the environment wherever God sends me. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.